Ladies and gentlemen, we have a wonderful gift for you at Christmas time. We're going to bring back to the airwaves that man you appreciate so much, one of the great broadcasters in America, one of the great assets that WTSB has that few other radio stations have. The great, great Tom Joyner is going to be talking about Christmas and anything that comes to his mind today. So, ladies and gentlemen, and Tom Joyner, would you come on in?
Well, it's fitting that Christmas Day falls on Sunday this year, a day reserved for the celebration of the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the hustle and bustle of shopping and children's anticipation of Santa's arrival, it's sometimes easy to forget the birth, the life, and the sacrifice that Jesus led. This year, we should remind our children that while the excitement of Santa Claus need not be dimmed, the birth of Christ should be revered. At this time of year, we think back on days gone by and remember the happy times of our youth. Many of those who played such a great part in those memories are no longer with us, but we feel their presence with us on this special day. As a young boy growing up in Wilson County, I fondly remember Christmas time. There was very little money in our house, but that did not stop us from the wonderment of the season. We'd go into the woods and cut down a cedar tree that would soon glow with red and green lights and strings of popcorn wound around the branches. Each child would get a toy. The boys delighted over a plastic holster and a toy gun, while the sister got a doll to play with for the next year. There were nuts and fruits under the Christmas tree, something we had very little of during the year. It was truly a special occasion. We didn't have the high expectations that kids have today. In saying that, I realize that there are children in our world and in our own country who do not have the high expectations at Christmas time. War and chaos in Syria and other parts of the country put those children in danger, and the quest is to simply find enough to eat to stay alive. In parts of our own country, we have pockets of poverty, like in Appalachia, where children expect little and receive even less because the parents don't have the means to put presents under the tree. I remember Christmas of 1954 when my father found a beat-up bicycle that had been thrown away, and he brought it to the garage where he worked as a body and fender repairman. After work, he patiently pounded away at the dents in the bike's fenders, found used tires for it, and painted it a bright red. That was my first bicycle and my fondest recollection of Christmas toys before or since. Looking back, I think of the time and effort my father put into that gift to me that Santa Claus delivered for he and my mother. And 68 years later, it still stands out as the best Christmas gift I've ever received. Money and the multitude of gifts is not and should not be what we remember as we grow older. It is the love and sacrifice that our parents made for us that will linger the longest in our minds. There are a few things that we can do to make Christmas a merrier time for those who have less. I separate those who can and don't do for themselves from those who try with all they have but fall short. For the latter, we should reach out to help. Now, I understand that most of you don't have the extra money to give a lot, but every little bit helps when you have nothing. As a very young boy, I well remember the Second Baptist Church in Wilson, where those loving people held a party for poor children. They gave each a basket of fruit and a crisp new $5 bill. I don't know who put me on that list, but I've never forgotten their kindness, and Ann and I try to pay it forward. For years after our daughter got old enough to know what we were doing, she and I put a large basket of fruit and a $5 bill on the porch of a rural house near Benson. It was obvious the family who lived there had little tangible things to celebrate. Lisa would run up and knock on the door and then sprint back to the car. We'd drive off down the road and then circle back. Every year the fruit basket had been taken into the house. We never knew who lived there, and they never knew who visited them each Christmas with a touch of love. Each year, Ann and I go to the Kmart in Raleigh, and the staff helps us pick out deserving people who have toys or clothing for their children on layaway. We pay off their debt, and the staff calls them to say Merry Christmas, and your gifts are ready to be picked up. If you are struggling to make ends meet and trying your best to provide a memorable Christmas for your children, think what that telephone call would mean to you. There are other ways to help, and we do, so I mention these not to congratulate ourselves, but in hopes that some of you will like the ideas and give hope of your own. As a kid, I remember my own mother and father struggling to pay a little each week or each month on layaway gifts for their children. Those memories stay with you as you grow older and find yourself in a position to help others in the same circumstances. It's not the value of the gifts that one receives. It's the love that is felt by those who appreciate that kindness. It's been 2,016 years since the star shone bright over Bethlehem, marking the birth of Jesus. I have been privileged to visit the birthplace of Jesus, and the feeling that one gets while standing there is hard to describe. I've had the privilege to stand by the banks of the Jordan River, where John the Baptist baptized the Lord. I've walked the hills of Nazareth, where Jesus played as a boy and labored as a carpenter before putting it all aside to spread the word of God among his people. Likewise, I've been fortunate to walk the trail that Jesus walked with the cross, upon which the Romans would crucify him. There is a special place in my heart for the land of Israel, where Jesus walked and taught and died. So we come now to Christmas of 2016, a time to pray for the safety of our military men and women in harm's way across the world, a time to remember those innocents we have lost to terrorism in our own country, and to resolve to back all efforts to block those who want to come here to harm us. That's not a political statement. It's a common sense way to save America. I want to thank Carl Lamb for the privilege of being with him and WTSB each Monday and being with you. I hope you enjoy my commentaries. I also need to thank Lynette Leto, my administrative right arm, who's been with me for 30 years and keeps things organized, as well as my friend Mike Phillips, whose technical support is invaluable. I was born far too early for this technology age. It's humbling to turn to our grandchildren when the computer needs adjusting, but just as many of our mothers relied on us to thread their sewing needles, time marches on. I want to give my rendition of Clement Moore's poem, The Night Before Christmas, before I say goodbye today, but first I return to the reason for the season, the celebration of the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God has allowed all of us to have a mind of our own. We are free to worship God or deny him, and the group of the latter is growing. In time, each of us will come to our own day of reckoning. If the atheists are right and there is no God, those of us who keep the faith will have suffered no harm. If they are wrong, those of us who have kept the faith will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Deniers will be denied. Ann and I, our daughter Lisa, our granddaughters Anna Marie and Neva Grace, along with their father Bob, wish each of you the merriest of Christmases and a prayer for peace and prosperity in the new year. 'Twas the night before Christmas, when all through the house not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. The children were nestled all snug in their beds while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads, and Mama in her kerchief and I in my cap had just settled down for a long winter's nap. When out on the lawn there arose such a clatter, I sprang from my bed to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters and threw up the sash. The moon on the breast of the new-fallen snow gave a luster of midday to objects below. When what to my wandering eyes should appear but a miniature sleigh and 8 tiny reindeer. With a little old driver so lively and quick, I knew in a moment it must be St. Nick. More rapid than eagles, his coursers they came, and he whistled and shouted and called them by name. Now Dasher, now Dancer, now Prancer and Vixen, on Comet, on Cupid, on Donder and Blitzen. To the top of the porch, to the top of the wall, now dash away, dash away, dash away all. As dry leaves before the wild hurricane fly, when they meet with an obstacle, mount to the sky. So up to the housetop the coursers they flew, with a sleigh full of toys, and St. Nicholas too. And then, in a twinkling, I heard on the roof the prancing and pawing of each little hoof. As I drew in my head and was turning around, down the chimney St. Nicholas came with a bound. He was dressed all in fur from his head to his foot, and his clothes were all tarnished with ashes and soot. A bundle of toys he had flung on his back, and he looked like a peddler just opening his pack. His eyes, how they twinkled. His dimples, how merry. His cheeks were like roses, his nose like a cherry. His droll little mouth was drawn up like a bow, and the beard on his chin was as white as the snow. The stump of a pipe he held tight in his teeth, and the smoke, it encircled his head like a wreath. He had a broad face and a round little belly that shook when he laughed like a bowl full of jelly. He was chubby and plump, a right jolly old elf, and I laughed when I saw him in spite of myself. A wink of his eye and a twist of his head soon gave me to know I had nothing to dread. He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work and filled all the stockings, then turned with a jerk. And laying his finger aside of his nose and giving a nod, up the chimney he rose. He sprang to his sleigh, to his team gave a whistle, and away they all flew like the down of a thistle. But I heard him exclaim, ere he drove out of sight, "Happy Christmas to all, and to all a good night." Carl?
Man, that was one of the best renditions of that I have ever, ever heard. Tom Jonah, you're multi-talented, no doubt about that. I'm going to follow up with Ephesians 6th chapter, verse 12. I will not do it as well as you did, but it needs to be said now. Ephesians 6th chapter, 12th verse. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this world's darkness, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Well, Jesus said when he left the earth that his followers should be the light of the world. Tom Jonah, you're one of the bright lights in the world that Jesus has left behind. And we have many, many, many thousands of good listeners at WTSB. Their light shines brightly this Christmas. None shines as any more brightly than the lights of Ann and Tom Jordan. And Tom, you're a light into a world of darkness, a world of sin.
And we need Carl, I deeply appreciate that. I've been a very fortunate man all of my life. I've worked hard like a lot of other people. But I've been very fortunate. God has blessed us. We try to pass that along to others. And I hope that everyone listening will have an incredibly nice Christmas and a happy new year. And God bless America.
And to that, all I have to say, amen.